This episode of The Y-Files is brought to you by Delete Me. The history of medicine goes back to the dawn of mankind, when ancient healers used special herbs to treat illnesses. Hippocrates, the father of medicine, laid the foundation for modern medical practice. Observation, diagnosis, prognosis, and treatment. His work set the stage for centuries of medical progress. In the 19th century, Edward Jenner created a smallpox vaccine, and Louis Pasteur proved microorganisms cause disease. The 20th century brought antibiotics, medical imaging, and organ transplants. In the past 400 years, the human lifespan has doubled. But something happened to medicine along the way. It became an industry, a profitable one. President Eisenhower warned against creating a military-industrial complex because if you make war profitable, you'll always have war. And he was right.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
So here's a cynical question. If you make illness profitable, will you always have illness? Well, in recent years, trillions have been spent on cancer research and therapies. Now, that's a lot of people getting rich from a disease that's already been cured.
Alas, poor Yorick. I knew him, Horatio.
Human! Thank goodness you're here! It's an emergency! I told you, baby, I didn't know! I swear to Poseidon!
What is going on? Whoa, Gertie sounds angry.
Oh, that's why I called. She was searching the web, and she found out some things about me. Personal things.
Like what?
Three marriage licenses.
Okay.
And two divorce decrees.
You're still legally married?
I thought I got that one annulled! It was Vegas, I had a great night at the tables, a few too many martinis. And next thing you know, I'm in the Elvis Chapel with an angelfish named Sheila that I met Mandalay Bay.
Mandalay Bay?
It's a hotel that has a big aquarium.
I know what it is! Get a divorce!
I already filled out the paperwork. But Gertie thinks I've been hiding this from her. I didn't even know all this information was on the web. I'm gonna be swimming on a couch for a week now.
Look, why don't you just use Delete Me?
Oh, I think you just meandered your way right into today's sponsor.
Well, thank goodness it finally did. Delete Me is a hands-free subscription service working to scrub your personal data from the web. Their team of privacy experts removes you from hundreds of data brokers all year long. And in just 7 days, you'll receive a detailed privacy report showing you exactly where your information was found and removed. Delete Me will wipe the slate clean, removing your personal data like phone numbers, addresses, and more. Plus, their monitoring system ensures that your data stays gone, repeating removal as needed, helping you reduce the risks of identity theft, stalking, even harassment. And here's the best part. With Delete Me, you're in control. You can make custom removal requests, tailoring your privacy protection to fit your needs. To start protecting your personal data, go to joindeleteme.com/theyfiles and use code theyfiles to receive 20% off Delete Me U.S. consumer plans.
joindeleteme.com/theyfiles for 20% off?
Yep.
Okay, I gotta sign up before Gertie finds my old semi-aquatic pictures.
Wait, what do you mean semi-
Don't judge, I was young, I needed the work.
I don't even know what a semi-aquatic picture is.
I was a model, I started doing a semi-aquatic. You know, I still kept some of my scales covered, but I hit a rut and bills were piling up and I didn't know what to do, so I ended up doing
what?
I did full waterless.
Royal Raymond Rife was born in Nebraska in 1888. He was a good student and wanted to be a doctor. Only 16 years old, he was admitted to Johns Hopkins University, one of the best medical institutions in the world. Rife became fascinated by bacteriology and the microscopic world, which led him to optics. To study bacteria effectively, he needed to see them clearly. He took a job at Zeiss Works in New York and trained under senior optics engineers. If you know anything about microscopes, telescopes, or cameras, or anything with lenses, you've heard of Zeiss. And Reif wasn't a bookworm researcher. He was hands-on. He built his own equipment, including one of the most powerful microscopes ever made, the Universal Microscope. In the 1920s, standard microscopes could only magnify objects up to 2,000 times. Reif's could reach 60,000 times magnification. He could see viruses and bacteria that nobody had ever seen before. Reif discovered what he called Bacillus X, or the BX virus. He believed cancer wasn't a disease, it was a virus, the BX virus. He wanted to destroy these microorganisms without harming surrounding tissue. Then he made another amazing discovery. He found that exposing microorganisms to specific frequencies caused them to explode.
It should be immediately paralyzed. I mean, it starts disintegrating from within.
All objects have a resonant frequency. When exposed to an external force matching this frequency, an object absorbs energy and vibrates more intensely. Parts of the human body have their own frequencies. This is useful in an MRI, which uses frequencies to produce diagnostic images. But it can also be dangerous. If you resonate an object for too long or with too much energy, it could be damaged or destroyed. This is why singers can break a glass by singing the right note.
That's how you do it.
So Reif built the Reif Frequency Generator, or Reif Machine, which emitted specific frequencies to target and destroy specific microorganisms. He called the frequency the mortal oscillatory rate. He found the frequencies to destroy tuberculosis, typhoid, pneumonia, anthrax, and more, all without harming healthy tissue.
Now you can see the disintegration on the bacteria playing into pieces. This is killing bacteria without harm to the human cell, without drugs.
He injected lab rats with cancer cells, creating golf ball-sized tumors, then used his machine to match the cancer's mortal oscillatory rate. It worked. The lab rats were completely cancer-free. Reif's work attracted interest from other doctors. Dr. Milbank Johnson arranged a study on 16 cancer patients using Reif's machine. In 3 months, 14 of the 16 patients were completely cured. Dr. Royal Raymond Reif discovered the cure for cancer, and it ruined him. Royal Raymond Reif's discovery was a triumph. His clinical trial in 1934 was a huge success.
16 cases were treated at the clinic for many types of malignancy. After 3 months, 14 of these so-called hopeless cases were signed off as clinically cured by the staff of five medical doctors and Dr. Alvin G. Ford, MD, pathologist for the group.
At first, the medical establishment rejected Reif's ideas. The notion that simple radio waves could succeed where radiation and surgery had failed, well, that was nonsense. They figured Reif's funding would dry up and he'd disappear. But that didn't happen. To get financed in medical research, you need support from the pharmaceutical industry. But Reif didn't need big pharma. He was backed by a few private investors, including William Timken, who owned a ball bearing company.
Dang, it's all ball bearings nowadays.
Okay.
Now you prepare that Fetzer valve with some 3-in-1 oil and gauze pads. I'm gonna need about 10 quarts of antifreeze. What? Fletch!
I know it's Fletch! With no ties to the medical industry, Reif had the freedom to research whatever and however he wanted. Doctors around the country figured if this Reif guy wasn't going away, they might as well look at his work. Reif used his machine more than 400 times on animal tumors. It worked every time, forcing even the most hardened skeptics to take notice. And there was no bigger skeptic than Morris Fishbein. Fishbein, head of the American Medical Association, was known to be very aggressive. Some critics called him the medical Mussolini. At first, Fishbein offered to buy Rife out. But when Rife said no, Fishbein's attitude changed. Rife kept working, but progress became increasingly difficult. Mysterious people started showing up at his lab. Some offered bribes, and others made threats. Other doctors had success using Rife's technology, but were pressured by the AMA to stop or lose their licenses.
Vigilant against quackery is Dr. Morris Fishbein.
There is no serum, drug, or combination of drugs that we know that will definitely cure cancer.
Any doctor caught using a Rife machine was harassed and worse. Fishbein then launched a campaign of character assassination against Rife. Articles appeared in medical journals and newspapers calling Rife a quack and a charlatan. Rife's lab was vandalized, his equipment destroyed, and his research disappeared. His life was unraveling. The final blow came in 1939. Fishbein offered one of Rife's investors legal assistance in an attempt to steal the company from Rife and other investors. Rife spent years fighting lawsuits. He went bankrupt, and the AMA stopped his work from proceeding. Royal Raymond Rife quietly retired. Broke and broken, he turned to alcohol. About 20 years later, renewed interest in Rife's technology led John Crane and John Marsh to convince him to build a new machine. Rife agreed, but the business didn't last long. In 1960, their labs were raided without a warrant. All equipment and records were seized. Rife stayed out of court, but his partners were charged with medical fraud. Even though 14 patients testified they were cured by the Rife machine, Crane and Marsh were sentenced to 3 years in prison. Oh, by the way, the forewoman of the jury was an AMA doctor.
Oh, come on.
Rife was again labeled a liar and a quack and reduced to poverty and despair. Many of Rife's associates faced tragedies. Dr. Milbake Johnson died in 1944, poisoned, and all his research disappeared. Burnett Labs in New Jersey, building Rife machines to treat cancer, mysteriously burned to the ground in 1939. All equipment and research were destroyed. And the owner of the lab, Dr. John Burnett, was related to William Timken.
The ball bearing guy?
Yep. Dr. Elmer Nemus was a nuclear physicist, medical doctor, and microscope designer. He was trying to replicate Rife's work in 1969. He died while staying at a hotel when his bed suddenly caught fire. 2 years later, in 1971, Rife had a heart attack. While in the hospital, he died after he was accidentally given a lethal dose of Valium.
Accidentally, my dorsal fin.
But Rife's ideas didn't die with him. Other pioneers would seek out alternative ways of curing diseases. The medical mavericks were not going away. But neither were Morris Fishbein or the AMA. The medical establishment does not like alternative medicine. In the 19th century, there were two types of medical practitioners in the U.S., allopathic doctors and alternative healers. Allopathic doctors diagnose and treat illnesses with pharmaceuticals, surgery, and other conventional methods. Alternative healers used natural remedies. Since anybody could claim to be a healer, many did. Natural healers were cheaper and plentiful. Mainstream doctors weren't making any money. So in 1847, they formed a trade union called the American Medical Association, the AMA.
Whoa, 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 whoa. The AMA started out as a union?
Yep.
Isn't a union's job to protect the interests of its members?
It is. So in 1901, the Journal of the American Medical Association released a statement.
The growth of the profession must be stemmed if individual members are to find the practice of medicine a lucrative profession.
So the AMA was created so doctors can make more money?
That's right.
Isn't this corrupt?
I'm not judging, I'm just telling you what happened. The AMA brought in the Carnegie Foundation to survey medical schools. In 1910, they released a report calling for standardizing medical training and eliminating non-scientific practices.
And who determines what's scientific?
The AMA does.
Yeah, of course.
Schools teaching alternative medicine were forced to drop these courses or lose funding and their ability to grant an MD. This led to a significant reduction in medical schools.
They offered tremendous amounts of money to the schools that would agree to cooperate with them. Almost overnight, all of the major universities received large grants from these sources and also accepted one, two, or three of these people that I mentioned on their board of directors, and the schools literally were taken over by the financial interests that put up the money.
In 1904, there were 160 schools granting MDs to more than 28,000 students. By 1920, only 85 medical schools were left. By 1935, the number had dropped to just 66.
New awareness of past injustices in many parts of our society. That's true in the fields of science and medicine, which are starting to look more carefully at their own history.
Most medical schools for blacks and all medical schools for women were now closed. So if you were black or a woman, becoming an MD and getting into the AMA was difficult.
The American Medical Association is one of the country's oldest, largest, and best-known associations of doctors. Its voice has long been influential, but now the AMA is finally beginning to come to terms with racism in its own past.
The doctor is the only one entitled by training, by experience, and by law to take care of the sick.
The AMA established allopathic medicine as the only acceptable type of medicine to practice. Alternative medicine was marginalized and in some cases made illegal.
Even if the natural medicine worked?
Yep.
This is bad.
It gets worse.
It always does.
The doctors from that point forward in history would be taught pharmaceutical drugs. All of the great teaching institutions in America were captured by the pharmaceutical interests in this fashion, and it's amazing how little money it really took to do it.
Every time a new type of alternative medicine was introduced, the AMA would attack. George Doc Simmons was head of the AMA from 1900 to 1924, and Morris Fishbein from 1924 to 1949. They labeled alternative practitioners as quacks and used the Journal of the American Medical Association to ruin the reputations of anyone they deemed a threat to mainstream medicine. The FDA was formed in 1906, but it wasn't until 1962 that drug companies had to prove their products worked and were safe. Before then, pharmaceutical companies needed the AMA seal of approval.
But how did the drugs get approved? Yeah, I should have seen that coming.
If you were a drug company and wanted to get into the journal of the AMA, you had to pay. That was it. The AMA didn't test drugs for safety or efficacy. They had no labs or researchers. The AMA just collected money. Oh, the AMA leaders would buy stock in that drug company before endorsing the drug. You know, so they can cash in when the stock price went up.
Oh, insider trading, like they do in Congress?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Nice work if you can get it, eh?
Sure is.
Dr. Max Gerson made a terrible mistake when he made the claim that smoking could cause cancer. He didn't realize that, at the time, the single largest contributor to the AMA was Philip Morris. Morris Fishbein quickly launched a campaign to imply that smoking was not only safe, but was recommended by doctors.
Yes, according to this survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Pack after pack, week after week. See for yourself why Camels are so popular with the doctors of America.
Simmons retired in 1924 as a wealthy man, and then Fishbein took over. By the way, Simmons was never a doctor. He got his diploma from Rush Medical College by mail. At least Fishbein went to medical school, though he wasn't a good student. He never finished his internship, he never received a diploma, and never practiced medicine, never saw a patient, not ever. In 1938, along with the AMA, Fishbein was indicted for violating the Sherman Antitrust Act. The AMA was convicted and fined, but Fishbein was acquitted. Still, he was lining his pockets. Under Fishbein's leadership, the public grew more critical of the AMA. It seemed like the AMA was interested in making people money, not making people healthy. Fishbein was finally thrown out of the AMA in 1949.
And that was the end of the corruption with the AMA and Big Pharma?
Oh, I'm sure everything's on a level now.
Uh-huh.
In 1924, Harry Hoxsey developed an unconventional cancer treatment. A self-taught healer from Illinois, he claimed his herbal remedy came from his great-grandfather. By the 1950s, the Hoxsey Clinic in Dallas was the world's largest private cancer center, with branches in 17 states.
And we now have in our files and our records many, many thousands of case histories and records, pathological proof, x-ray photographic studies, that we do positively cure cancer, both internal and external.
Hoxsey reported very high success rates, which caught the eye of Morris Fishbein. Hoxsey gave Fishbein and other AMA members a demonstration of his product and method. The next day, Fishbein offered to buy Hoxsey's formula. Hoxsey was open to the idea, but insisted on providing treatment to those who couldn't afford it, as he did in his clinics. Fishbein was offended. He demanded full control of the business and profits for 9 years. After that, Hoxsey would get 10% of the profits if the AMA was satisfied the cure worked.
Hard pass.
Yeah, Hoxsey refused. And like Royal Raymond Rife, Hoxsey faced Fishbein's wrath. From 1926 to 1931, Hoxsey was arrested 119 times for practicing medicine without a license. Between 1937 and 1939, he was arrested over 100 times in Texas. Fishbein labeled Hoxsey the worst cancer quack of the century and pressured the FDA to shut down his clinic. Patients were harassed, records seized, and clinics closed. Hoxsey fought back. He sued Fishbein and the AMA for libel and slander, and won. Fishbein was forced to resign and admitted in court that Hoxsey's treatment cured external cancer. Hoxsey converted skeptics, including Al Templeton, the assistant district attorney of Dallas, who had arrested Hoxsey almost 100 times. When Templeton's brother's cancer was cured by Hoxsey, Templeton became Hoxsey's lawyer. In 1939, Esquire journalist James Burke came to Texas to expose the fraud.
Why don't you go down to Texas and let's expose this fellow? He's getting too big. And the American Medical Association liked to put him out of business and said, you go down and get acquainted with him and says, we'll do a couple of pieces on him and put an end to this.
He stayed 6 weeks and wrote The Quack Who Cures Cancer and became Hoxsey's publicist. Now, even though Fishbein resigned, he was still powerful. In 1960, after 36 years of operation, Hoxsey's clinics were closed. Even with the support of U.S. Senator Elmer Thomas, Hoxsey's herbal treatment was never officially tested, because one senator is not enough.
It seems that the medical fraternity is highly organized and that they have decided to crush you and your institution. It seems that the public officials are afraid that if they make any move or say anything antagonistic to the wishes of the medical organization, they will be pounced upon and destroyed. In other words, the public officials seem to be afraid of their jobs and even of their lives.
In the next election, the AMA lobbied heavily against Senator Thomas. Even though Thomas was very popular, he was defeated in the primary by Mike Mulroney. The vote was a huge upset and a surprise to everyone. But it wasn't a surprise to the AMA.
Anything that comes from nature cannot be patented. They're not interested in that. That, and of course the FDA says, it's illegal to use unless it's been tested for efficacy and safety. Now you see the catch-22 you're in there. Nothing from nature, regardless of how effective it might be, will ever be proven safe or effective according to the FDA. It'll never be. So therefore, everything from nature will always be condemned by the FDA as unproven.
The This was a difficult episode to write. Cancer affects almost everybody. Cancer's hit my family hard over the years. It took my dad 2 years ago. And if it's affecting you right now, either directly or indirectly, I'm sorry. I really am. I know the pain you're going through. So here are the facts about today's story. I'm going to work backward. Harry Hoxie's formula is still around, but don't try it. Actually, don't do anything without talking to your doctor. Hoxie's formula has been tested, and there's no proof it cures anything. In fact, it could even be dangerous. Need more proof? Guess how Harry Hoxie died.
Don't tell me it was cancer.
Cancer. Prostate cancer. He used his formula on himself, and it didn't work. He secretly had surgery and died 7 years later. 7 hard years. So don't mess with his formula. Listen to your doctor. Morris Fishbein and all that nasty stuff about the AMA? Well, that's pretty much all true. Fishbein was sleazy. Whether he admitted that Hoxie's formula worked, I couldn't find any proof. I think it's just part of the legend. But in Fishbein's defense, he did expose a few frauds. The AMA really did start as an organization to crush healers using natural remedies so doctors could make more money. But the real history of Fishbein and the AMA is hard to find. There's not a lot of that on the internet. You have to dig. Now, Royal Raymond Rife, he wasn't a doctor. That was an honorary degree. He probably wasn't killed in the hospital with Valium. He was most likely taking it himself. Was he a genius? Yes. Did he find the cure for cancer? I don't know. There's no evidence that his machine worked. But some people have tried to build it and got hurt or killed. So again, don't try it. And if you see one for sale, it's a fraud. Don't buy it. But you really can destroy things if you expose them to the right frequency. So what about cancer cells? Well, I stumbled across this TED Talk by Anthony Holland from about 10 years ago. He's a music professor, but he was working with a lab using sound to attack cancer cells.
We now know that cancer is vulnerable between the frequencies of 100,000 hertz and 300,000 hertz. So now we attack leukemia cells. Leukemia cell number one tries to grow a copy of itself, but the new cell is shattered into dozens of fragments and scattered across the slide.
And then 7 years ago, a TED Talk by Christine Gibbons.
Now, by arranging an array of these elements in a concave formation, the transducer then becomes capable of transmitting ultrasonic waves that then increase sharply in strength at the focus. By pulsing those waves, we create the histotripsy effect to destroy tissue at the cellular level.
Sounds promising, but does it work? We don't know. A bigger, darker question. Is Big Pharma suppressing cures because more sick people means more profit? Honestly, I don't think so. Really, I don't. I think the companies, generally speaking, are evil. But that's mostly a judgment of the people who run them. They're greedy. But that's their job. They're supposed to make money for the people who own the pharmaceutical companies. Now, who owns them? Well, mostly bankers and hedge funds. But if you have a 401k, a pension, or some kind of managed investment account, you probably own a little of them too. Now, the doctors, scientists, and researchers at these pharmaceutical companies aren't evil. They're the opposite of evil. Those men and women in lab coats going to a lab every day? Thank God for them. And if you're one of those people, thank you, truly. If you work in healthcare in any capacity, if you're an EMT, or you're a nurse working night shifts, or caring for the elderly, or working hospice, thank you. Be angry at the corporations, be angry at the greed in the boardroom, but don't be angry at someone who spent half their life in school to sit in front of a microscope for 60 hours a week. Those are good people down in the labs. If there was a cure for cancer or any disease, it couldn't be kept secret. Why? Because those are good people down in the labs. Besides, if there's a secret cure for cancer, who's using it? Billionaire elites? Steve Jobs was a billionaire elite. He was diagnosed with cancer at age 49. He had the resources for any treatment he wanted, conventional or otherwise. In fact, Steve Jobs spent the first 9 months after his diagnosis trying nothing but alternative treatments, against his doctor's wishes. Steve Jobs had unlimited resources, and he still lost. Look, I understand why people are drawn to the theories about secret cures and alternative medicine. When you or a loved one is suffering, and traditional medicine isn't working, you'll try anything. That's why we call it fighting or surviving cancer. It's about reclaiming control over your health, exploring every possibility, and refusing to give up. Now, true or not, these are stories of resilience and the belief that answers might exist outside mainstream thinking. A miracle cure didn't arrive in time to save my dad, but it might arrive in time to save yours. And if it does, I don't want any agency or bureaucracy getting in the way. That's why I was so hard on the AMA today, because they have a history of shutting down ideas that aren't mainstream. We can't let that happen again. One day, another maverick will come along with a cure that defies mainstream medicine, and so-called experts will try to silence them because they can't understand anything outside mainstream thinking. So here's a message to those experts. If you're not going to help, get out of the way.
Like, things just freak me out like this, and reach back to the night's memory a whole lot.
Thanks so much for hanging out today. My name is AJ. There's Hecklefish.
Did you run, run, run? Did you run, run?
This has been The Y-Files. If you had fun or learned anything, do him a favor and subscribe, comment, share, or like. That stuff really makes the little guy happy. And like most topics we cover on the channel, today's was recommended by you. So if there's a story you'd like to see or learn more about, go to theyfiles.com/tips. And remember, The Y-Files is also a podcast. Twice a week, I post deep dives into the stories we cover right here on the channel, but I also post episodes that wouldn't be allowed on the channel. Those are called unredacted. This is an episode that was going to go there. This is probably demonetized as I'm reading this. Anyway, the podcast is called The Y-Files Operation Podcast, and it's available everywhere. Now, in between episodes, if you need a little more Y-Files in your life, hop on our Discord server. There are 50,000 people on there 24/7, and they're into the same weird stuff that we are. It's a great community, it's a lot of fun, and it's free to join. Now, if you want to know what's going on with The Y-Files, check out our production calendar. It's at theyfiles.com/cal. There we post our episode schedule, upcoming podcasts, live streams, everything. Special thanks to our patrons who make this channel possible. Every episode of The Y-Files is dedicated to you, especially this one, because we're definitely demonetized. Anyway, if you'd like to support the channel, consider becoming a member on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, you get access to perks like the videos early with no commercials, merch available only to members, plus you get 2 private live streams every week just for you. Now, the whole Y-Files team is on those streams, and you're welcome to turn your webcam on. You can ask questions, talk directly with us. It's nice. It's like we're actually people. Another great way to support the channel is get something from the Y-Files store.
Grab yourself a heck of a t-shirt or one of these bugs with my face on it that you can stick your fist in, or something with my face on it, or get one of these squeezy animal toy tugging fish style toys.
Those are the plugs, and that's going to do it. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you are appreciated.
In Area 51, a secret code inside the Bible said I was. I love my UFOs and paranormal fun, as well as music, so I'm singing like I should. But then another conspiracy theory becomes the truth, my friends, and it never ends. No, it never ends. And I got stuck inside Mel's home with MK Ultra. I've been only too aware. Did Stanley Kubrick fake the moon landing alone on a film set, or were the shadow people there? The Roswell aliens just fought the smiling man, I'm told, and his name was Cold. And I can't believe all I ever wanted was to do.
The Mothman sightings and the solar storms still come to Agartha, the secret city underground. Mysterious number stations, planet Serpo 2, Project Stargate, and what the Dark Watchers found. Within a simulation, don't you worry though, the Black Knight satellite, it's over me, so I can't believe.